Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Dave Mader, Assistant Deputy Commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service. Joining our conversation is Jim Cook, another PwC partner.
Thanks, Paul. Dave, a little earlier you talked about the restructuring or the modernization effort as being an ongoing effort, and you're 1 year into it, basically operating under the new structure. Tell us a little bit about what you see the next year or two holding for this effort. Do you see this basically being completed? Do you see additional changes coming? What's your vision?
Jim, I think one of the things that we've learned as an organization is, and I know this almost sounds like a cliche, but change is constant. In order for us to deliver the goods and services that taxpayers require, we're going to have to be continually reexamining how we do business and what offerings we have. You know, I mentioned we were like a financial services organization. I mean, you know, what improvements do we need to make around electronic filing? How do we appeal to more individuals to do business through e-government? So that constant reexamination of how we do our business and what we offer is going to require that we retain a high degree of flexibility. Now, for some people, that's somewhat unsettling. The last major reorganization of the IRS before this took place in 1952. So we almost went 50 years and then had another massive reorganization. What I tell employees around the country is, while we probably won't reorganize to the scope that we did over the last year and a half, don't get comfortable, because if we get comfortable, then we're going to lose touch with our customers. So we've got to every day examine what we do and how we do it from the point of view of, are we meeting customers' expectations?
This massive effort has really touched on all of the major aspects of your organization, the organization itself, the processes, and the technology. Where would you say the biggest impact is going to come from a taxpayer standpoint? Where are the taxpayers going to see the biggest benefit?
I believe in us being able to design products and services offerings that will help taxpayers understand what their requirements are for filing and then actually interacting with us. I mentioned, you know, we're trying to get more and more taxpayers to move to electronic filing and electronic deposit on refunds. So we need to understand the unique needs of these different segments of taxpayers and then design offerings to meet those needs. And I believe that's the biggest benefit of this structural change, by focusing on discrete market segments of taxpayers.
How do you want the taxpayers to see the IRS? If it was once this tough cop image and focused on compliance, it now seems to be more towards customer service. Is there a vision of sort of what this is supposed to look like?
There are a couple of key words that we used during our reorganization, Paul, and looking at this customer-facing organization. And two phrases sort of strike me. One is service to each. And what I mean by that is, in each transaction we have with a taxpayer, we want them to be satisfied with that interaction and with that transaction. And for the vast majority of taxpayers, their interaction with us is usually just once a year when they file their return. The other concept is fairness to all. And the fairness to all is, are all taxpayers paying their fair share? And that gets to a comment I made earlier. I mean, there isn't a trade-off between customer service and compliance. Both of those concepts exist within good tax administration, because taxpayers who do voluntarily pay and report and comply want to be sure that their next-door neighbor is as well. And that's where the compliance aspect of our business comes into play.
Let me shift gears here a little bit. We hear a lot about the coming wave of retirement and government employees and federal agencies. I'm curious what kind of challenges you think this might have for the IRS.
Our workforce is, I think, as most federal agencies, has been aging. I mean, many of us are into our ends of our career. And we were fortunate over the last year and a half to actually begin some fairly substantial hiring. So it's very, very nice to see some young faces joining the ranks of the IRS. There are a lot of flexibilities within the current statutes that allow us to incentivize employees to stay. years and years ago, legislation was put on the books that allows for the payment of retention allowances. We have recognized the need to use that, and will continue to aggressively use that to retain a lot of experienced IRS employees and executives. And we started it, actually, during the Y2K crisis.
Is pay the only lever? Are there other exciting parts of the business that are just not obvious when we think about it that are attracting people as well?
It's interesting. Driving to work this morning, I was listening to a show on the radio, and they were talking about a study, and I don't know who did the study, but it was around what incentivizes employees to really perform on the job. And this is, I guess, no surprise to any of us. Pay is not number one. It's really being appreciated for the job that they do. And I think there's a lot of non-monetary incentives that we as managers and leaders in any organization, whether it be private or public, can utilize to retain good employees. I mean, as simple as saying thank you for a job well done.
What advice would you give, Dave, to a young person considering a career in public service?
I'm prejudiced because I've spent my year in public service. But you know, I think with the changes actually to the retirement plan several years ago, I think it gives now individuals the opportunity to move in and out of government. And I think that's a very good thing. I think we do need a hardcore group of folks who really want to make public service their calling for their entire career. But I think it really would benefit individuals and organizations, both public service and private sector organizations, to have more of a movement between those two parts because I think the experience that a young person would get in a government could be leveraged in a private sector environment and vice versa. I hope that most folks would consider doing a couple of years in public service.
You indicated that you're doing recruiting for the first time in a while, and I'm curious what type of skills you're looking for on sort of the new folks that are joining.
Paul, you had mentioned earlier the stereotypical image of the IRS as auditors and collectors, and what's interesting is when you look at the complexity of our organization, the kinds of skills that we need. Yes, we need auditors and we need collectors. We need customer service representatives, people who really enjoy interacting with customers. We need, as most firms need, IT professionals. We need people with marketing skills. We need to understand what kinds of products and services will help people comply with the tax code. So I can't say that there isn't a skill set that couldn't be utilized effectively in the IRS.
What's your vision for the IRS over the next 10 years? How do you see it evolving?
I believe that the changes that we've made over the last 2.5 years really creates the foundation for us to provide more effective tax administration, both from the government's perspective as well as from the taxpayer's perspective. The tax code is complex. There's no question about it. I think there's a lot that we can do as the administrators in understanding how to minimize the burden, whether it be in dollars or in time, that taxpayers need to comply with the code. So I think that's probably the biggest challenge, Paul, that we're going to face is trying to create a higher degree of effectiveness.
Other organizations are partnering with the private sector to have the private sector companies perform part of their mission. Could you ever imagine that happening at the IRS?
The IRS over the last several years has relied heavily on the private sector for support in the IT arena, in e-commerce. We don't have that skill set, so we rely heavily on the private sector to partner with us in delivering improved services.
And sort of net, what would you describe the lessons learned to, say, others who want to undergo the kind of reform and restructuring that the IRS has undertaken the last several years?
I think it's good for any organization, private or public, to step back and examine who their customers are and to examine what they do and how they do it and not get lulled into a false sense of security and to think about the future and anticipate the changes that you need to make. I would hope that most federal agencies don't have to get to the point where the IRS did, where the Congress and the administration said you must change. And I think that's a challenge for any large bureaucracy to undertake.
Well, Dave, Jim and I want to thank you very much for joining us this morning. We've had a very interesting conversation.
Yes, thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Jim.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dave Mader, Assistant Deputy Commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service. Be sure and visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. There you can learn more about our programs and research. You can also get a copy of the transcript of today's conversation. Once again, that's endowment.pwcglobal.com. This is Paul Lawrence. See you next week.